Need to improve developer productivity and enable collaboration between low-code and pro-code users? Use Corio, an integration platform as a service that offers low-code cloud-native engineering for professional developers. You focus on the code while we take care of everything else. Try Corio for free today at wso2.com/Corio.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of the InfoQ podcast. I'm Thomas Betts, co-host of the podcast, lead editor for architecture and design at InfoQ, and a senior principal software engineer at Blackbaud. Today, I'm speaking with Fran Mendez about Async API. Fran is the founder and project director for Async API and the director of engineering at Postman. Fran, welcome to the InfoQ podcast.
Thank you, Thomas. Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So let's just start with, what is Async API?
Boom, right? Like the big question. Async API is an initiative, and I would like to clarify this. It's an initiative composed of a specification and multiple tools to ease the development of event-driven architectures. So far, we have seen similar initiatives in the REST API space, like OpenAPI, like RAML, and many others, right? And we were missing something for event-driven architectures. And that's why I created Async API specification first, which was like taking like a fork, if you want, of OpenAPI, but modifying the essential things to define messaging systems instead of REST APIs. And from there, it grew into a bunch of things, not just the spec, but a bunch of tooling, a bunch of really basic tools. But when I say basic, it's not as in the complexity they have, but as in the need that people may have with these tools, right? Like a parser, code generators, documentation generators, a React component, a playground, and many other little tools that are composing this whole bundle of different tools, right?
So you said it forked from OpenAPI, and I think it's OpenAPI, but a lot of people still call it Swagger, which is what I still refer to it as. And so you started with the spec, saying here's how we're going to define an asynchronous contract, very similar how you'd use OpenAPI to define a RESTful synchronous API contract?
Correct. So the idea behind the spec is to define contracts, to define the endpoints, which are usually called topics or channels or event names. I mean, there are many names for this, right? So if you use Kafka, these are topics. If you use MQTT, these are topics as well. If you use RabbitMQ or AMQP protocol, these are routing keys. So there are many names for this thing. And aside from the definition of the endpoints, you want to define if your application is publishing or is subscribing to a specific endpoint, which kind of message can you expect there? Like, what's the shape of the message, which is described using JSON schema? And from there, we managed to be able to generate documentation, generate code, and do a lot of other stuff, right? I said that you can define the message using JSON schema, but the truth is that we decoupled this like a year ago from JSON schema. And now you can also specify other languages like Avro, for instance. So you can use Async API with Avro and like natively. So it's natively supported on Async API as well. So you can just say, I want to define my messages with Avro. And like you can specify a specific filter to say that, right? And if you already have Avro schemas, you can just reference them from an Async API file, or you can reference your Avro schemas in a schema registry, right? So you don't have to redefine the whole thing again using this schema, right?
Let me parse back a couple of things you said. One, you mentioned that the definition will say whether you are a publisher or a subscriber. And then the contract seems to be the shared piece. So does it make sense to have that contract called out separately and then the publisher and the subscriber each individually reference it and say, I want to use that and you're going to use that as well?
Actually, this is one of the things that we want to introduce on version 3 because we've seen many people like struggling with this, that they had a contract saying, I'm a publisher on this topic and I'm a subscriber. And you have another one saying, I'm a subscriber on the same topic. And as you can expect, the message, the shape of the message is the same because we're talking about the same message flowing through a pipe, if you want, through a topic channel. And people were struggling to reuse this definition, right? So one thing that we want to do for the next major release is to decouple this operation, which is publish, subscribe, from the channel definition and the message definition, right? So different services can make a reference to a contract, let's say channel contract, if you want.
And then the other part was you mentioned Kafka and RabbitMQ. So this is really language and platform and tooling independent. It is just the specification. And so what you choose to implement it in is still up to the individual developers.
Correct. So we don't stick to any specific protocol. Actually, the protocol field on the SNKPI document, it's a free form string. So you can put whatever you want there. And the reason is, on version one, there was a list of supported protocols, but we realized there was a problem. And it's that many companies have, especially the big ones, have custom protocols, like internal protocols. And they weren't able to use SNKPI because the list was a fixed list of supported protocols, right? They wanted to use their protocol, but of course, they also don't want to publish their protocol to be able to use SNKPI, right? So, so what we did instead is like, okay, it makes sense to open this protocol field to any string. It's just the responsibility of the tooling to understand it. And then you might find tooling that understands a specific protocol or not. And it's up to the tooling developer to specify which protocols are supported. Our tools, I will say that we tend to support all the protocols that we have. Not all the protocols, but most of the most used protocols, if you want. It's impossible to support all the protocols. And I'm saying it's impossible because there are many protocols that we might not even know about. And that happens very frequently that we just hear about a new protocol and it's like, oh, wait, really? What is this new protocol, right? So it's impossible for us to keep up with all the protocols, but at least main ones like MQP, MQTT, Kafka, WebSocket, Stomp, NAT, for instance, as well. All these protocols are for sure supported by all our tooling. So we make sure that our tools support it. But again, our tools support it. The spec is agnostic in regards to protocol and in regards to the system that you have behind. The only thing that you do with the spec is define how do you connect, how do you send or receive messages from an endpoint. It's like we don't care what's behind that endpoint, right? If it's Kafka, or if it's, I don't know, MQTT broker, Mosquito or something, that's up to you. That's not our problem. This is the definition of your API, right? It's a way to interact with the system behind. We treat the system behind as a black box. We don't want to know information about how your system is done behind the scenes, right? Mainly because you probably want to share this SNKPI document with the public, you know, with your audience, and then you don't want to define how your system is done behind the scenes there, right?
Also gives you the ability to change things, how you're implementing it, but you keep the contract the same.
Exactly. So it's like, I can't remember the principle, the computer science principle, but it's like, I think it's information hiding, right? If I'm not mistaken. So it's like separation of concerns here.
Good abstraction. So anyone who's had to hand roll and write their own Swagger docs and the OpenAPI documents, either in YAML or JSON, knows that you quickly want to have the tooling to help you out and generate. So I've read through the documentation online and it says, here's what all the fields represent and here's how you define it. But you've talked a little bit about the tools. So what do you have in terms of, it seems like there's two sides of this, generate the async API spec, but also to take the async API specification and generate a client that will agree to that contract.
So on the second side of things, like taking an async API file and generating clients or servers or different things, that's covered. So we got this covered using our generator tool. It's actually called generator. We're not very creative here with the naming. And on the first part, like how do you craft an async API document? Right now we have nothing. Yeah, it has to be done by hand. It's true. We've seen this for years on the OpenAPI community, on the Swagger community, right, as well, that people struggle with this. And there were some tools popping up to help you with that task. So our hope here is that we'll see tools appearing or the existing ones giving support for SNKPI. It's not just a hope, right? So it's not that I'm sitting back here in my chair and wishing that someone does it, right? I'm always having conversations with different parties and telling them how difficult will it be to implement support for SNKPI. One of them, I would say, is obvious from my position, right? So Postman is going to implement SNKPI support. So from their UI, you should be able to generate your SNKPI document. Not now, obviously, it's not yet implemented, but then along this year, I would say, we'll have this done. And also, you will be able to test and mock asynchronous APIs with Postman, which it's already more or less happening. We already introduced WebSocket support. But I don't want to end the conversation around Postgres. So things like, for instance, the other products like Stoplight, which came to my mind in terms of tools to create OpenAPI documents with a nice UI, I think they are in the best position to give support to async API. And actually, we are the most requested feature on Stoplight to give support for async API. So that's funny. I mean, I don't know if they're working on it, but I'm sure that they will work on it. And I think that because, I mean, they're great people, they're a great product, and I think that at some point this is going to happen. But yeah, we're missing that part. We're also going to work on a tool which is called Async API Studio, and it's still in the very, very early days. And our idea is to create a UI that you can install or deploy yourself. We're not going to offer this as a service. And it's a tool that allows you to do precisely that, that allows you to create async API files, not just one, but maybe multiple, and draw your architecture. And from that drawing, an interactive chart, let's say, you can generate async API files, right? So that's something that is on the roadmap. And it's being worked on right now, but it's in the very early days.
So what's on the tooling on the other side? I have my specification. What can I do with it? What tooling can I use to read that specification and then pull that into my code?
Most of the tooling is actually in that side. So if not all of the tooling, I would say. So you have Generator, our tool, which is called Generator. And the Generator is capable of generating markdown documentation for your service or for your client. It's capable of generating HTML documentation. There's a React component as well for the documentation. You can generate Node.js code, Java code with Spring Cloud Stream framework. There's a Python generator as well. There's a Go code generator as well. So there are a few of them, and more are appearing. And there's community contributed tools like Microx, for instance. So Microx allows you to use OpenAPI, async API, and many other formats to mock and test asynchronous APIs. So I totally recommend people to have a look at Microx. And they really did a great job. And they're contributing to the spec based on their feedback from the users. And it's a really good tool. And this is all coming from the community. This is not something that we maintain, right? So with an async API file, you can do things like this. You can mock and test a Kafka broker or a Kafka endpoint, right? Kafka topic, which is super cool. And they're going to add support for WebSockets now. So it will be even cooler.
Yeah, that's good to hear, because I know this is one of those problems that people have with asynchronous and event-driven architectures is the disconnected nature of testing it becomes that extra challenge. How do you set it all up? How do you test it without sending messages around? And if they don't come back, what do you do? So just being able to mock that out reliably and know that you're following your contract is very good to hear.
On that side as well, we're building now an event gateway. So that's for production use. Like this is for runtime use, I would say. And the idea behind that is like an API gateway, but for event-driven protocols like Kafka, like MQTT, MQP, right? So we call it gateway because people are more familiar with gateways, but it really is a proxy if you think about it. It's a TCP proxy that is just reading your messages, whatever your protocol is. It's a transparent thing, so people don't have to notice that there is a proxy there. And it's validating, for instance, imagine that you put it between your Kafka client and your Kafka broker, and you put it in the middle, you put the gateway in the middle. And what it's doing is analyzing your messages and comparing them with your async API definitions. And if they're not valid, then you can do many things. One of them is blocking the message at all. You can let it pass. You can let it pass and trigger an alarm, whatever. There are many, many things. And this is something that we're developing as part of the initiative. We want to make it like a white label product so that other people can reuse and probably resell and offer it as a service, right? Or just simply just installing themselves in their infrastructure. Right?
You talked about how the specification itself is being modified. And so this is all an open source project, an open source initiative, started with the specification. And so the specification itself is still open source as it evolves. What version are you on right now?
We're on version 2.1. As of today, we just released that at the date of this recording, right? We released 2.1 today. And yeah, pretty excited because actually, I was saying before we started recording the call, right? So I want to share this with the audience. I was just saying that I'm super excited because it's the first time that I'm not involved in any of the features of the spec. So I was super happy, like, oh, I'm glad that this is alive, right? It's not just my stuff, just Fran doing some crazy stuff on his spare time, right?
Right. That's a good indication of a strong open source project, good community support.
Exactly. And that's what I've been trying to advocate for during this, all these years. And I wanted to make it clear, like, it's not that I don't want to work on the project that I created. It's totally the opposite. I want it to be a community project, right? I don't want it to be a project of one company or one guy, right? I want it to be community-driven project, like truly community-driven project. Happy that it's happening.
Yeah, that's very exciting news. The tooling and all those other things, is this all just in one shared GitHub repository, or is there multiple for all the different projects and different languages?
Yeah, so everything that we maintain as an initiative, like, let's say, I don't want to call it official tooling, but let's say that initiative tooling, it's on the async API organization on GitHub. Everything hangs in there, like it hangs from there, right? Like, so all the repos are stored there if you want, and everything is open source. We do nothing that is not, well, I have to be cautious with double negations in English, but we don't do anything that is not open source, right? So everything we do is open source. For us, it's actually, it goes against our ethos to create something that is not open source. So yeah, we want to keep it like this.
If someone says, I have a need for, and maybe it exists and you just didn't list off, but .NET Core support, and they say, I want to have a generator that writes to .NET, someone can just go and create a new generator and add it up there.
Please do it. Like, I mean, unless you don't want to share it, but I mean, our intentions here are that we create a strong community, like I said. And if you contribute something, then you become the owner, if you want, of course, you become the owner of that piece and you become part of the TSC of the initiative, right? So you will become a TSC member just because you contributed the tool. But let's say your superpowers as a TSC member is restricted to your project, right? So you'll manage your project, but you can also take decisions and votes. You can vote on decisions that affect the whole initiative, right? You can participate in the voting, which is funny. We made it that way so that everybody can contribute to the initiative and everybody can vote. But the fun thing here is that all the discussions are happening on specific repos or specific tools, and we always come up with an agreement on that place, and we didn't even have to vote yet for anything. Like, we always come up with a consensus on the specific place, which is super cool. That's what we were trying to do. Like, we have voting system on the TSC in case we want to vote about something that you're not able to come up with a decision, but that never happens. Usually people discuss in a healthy way. And that's something that I also want to make it clear and to put it like in a big headline, right? Like, SNKPA is a super welcoming community and a super friendly community. And anybody can see just by joining our Slack workspace that, I mean, we have people there from all the, let's say, different levels, if you want, of experience, different ages of experience. And we're always helping each other as much as we can, even sometimes not even related to SNKPA, but to programming in general or other stuff. And yeah, so I try to always explain and tell people that really that we are a really welcoming community and we want to continue being like that. I encourage people to join.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So when you talk about the TSC, I assume Technical Steering Committee, just to unpack the acronym.
Yeah, Technical Steering Committee. Sorry for using this. Yeah. I should have clarified. So yeah.
Just over a radio, it's easier to spell things out sometimes. So is everything that the TSC does over Slack, or do you have virtual meetings because everyone's scattered around the globe?
Like I said, we never needed to do a voting yet. So we didn't have to do anything or put it anywhere because it wasn't needed. Either maybe it happens on Slack, the discussion happens on Slack, but the result of the decisions are always put on specific GitHub issues or pull requests. So all the things are there. We try not to have meetings as much as possible, and so far is working, at least not for taking decisions, right? So we never take decisions in meetings, and that's because we're a huge world here with many time zones, and yeah, and people have lives, so you might not be able to join our meeting today, but you want to be part of it. You want to be considered as part of the decision, right? So we always do it in a greeting form. We have meetings every 2 weeks for the people to join and ask whatever they want. That's something that we do. 1 week is Europe and America's friendly, and 2 weeks later is more like Asia and Europe friendly. So we cover all the time zones as much as we can. But again, that we try not to make any decisions on meetings because we want to be async, right?
I was just going to make that reference. You can't have synchronous demands. Everyone has to get into a meeting together and then your asynchronous model falls apart. So you're on to version 2.1 as of today, again, the day we're recording. So this will be coming out in a few weeks. Obviously, 2.0 must have come out a little while ago. How long has Async API been in the works? How long have you been working on it?
That's a good thing to highlight. So I released version 2.0 in September 2019. So it's taken almost 2 years to release this minor version. But don't be scared. That was done on purpose, right? So at that point, we realized that the spec was like good enough. Wasn't perfect, but it was good enough to provide value. So then we decided to focus our efforts on tooling, our limited efforts at the time. I mean, all efforts are limited, but at that time, they were even more limited than today, right? So we decided to, Lucas and I decided that we wanted to focus on specific, on building tooling, on providing value out of the spec. So people can actually get the value and experiment it and give feedback to the spec as well at the same time. Well, we've done that for a year. And a year and something. And now we've decided, like a few months ago, I think it was in March, we asked the community, we had an issue open for several weeks. And we've been asking proactively many people, like, hey, what should be the new release cadence for Async API? And we came up with the agreement between the community, between everyone in the community that wanted to participate. And we're going to be releasing 4 times a year. From now on. So we're releasing always on the same months. We're releasing in June, on September, on January, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it's April. Yes, April. We're always going to be releasing on this month, no matter the year, no matter the content of the release. We don't know if it's going to be major or minor. If it's minor, we'd always try to grab, to gather all the breaking changes together, and if we do a major release, we put all the breaking changes there, right? We don't want to be pushing breaking changes every 3 months, right? So for instance, we want to publish version 3, which is a new major version, and most probably this will be done in January, not in September, because again, we want to group all the breaking changes as much as possible, right? And so this is going to be happening on average every 3 months. We're going to be releasing spec versions every 3 months. That's not to mention that, for instance, if there is something that we need to fix, editorial fixes, typos, things like this, these are released immediately. So you probably see in the upcoming weeks, you probably see a 2.1.1, 2.1.2. But if you read the spec, it says that the last number, the patch number of the version, is non-normative, right? So not affect anything in the spec, just editorial fixes, typos, and things like this, right? So these are completely automatic and they're released immediately, right? And as for how long are we maintaining the spec versions? Because that's the next question, right? It's like, if we're going to be delivering so fast, then what happens with support, right? So we don't have an end date of version 2 yet, and I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. We probably will be maintaining version 2 for, I don't know, say 5 or 6 years probably, because that needs to be done this way, right? But that shouldn't stop us from delivering new versions, right? If people want to upgrade, they should be able to upgrade. If you want to get stuck on version 2, that's fine as well. Just be aware that at some point, this is going to be discontinued, right? That support is going to be discontinued, right? But yeah, like I said, in a very long time, this is something that we actually have to decide, but we don't want to decide ourselves alone or a small group of people. And we always try to involve the community to make this kind of decision. Feel free to join.
I know you briefly mentioned Postman, but I wanted to circle back to what the partnership was with Postman. And also you had an announcement last year about working with the Linux Foundation for hosting. So can you talk about those two things?
First place, we were like in summer last year, it's actually a year now, we were Lucas, which is my friend working on the spec and on the initiative, and I, we were discussing how to make the project sustainable, right? And that wasn't easy. It's impossible to maintain such a big project and growing project with donations only. So we were just trying to come up with ideas. One of the ideas was to create our own company and sell a product or a service and try to sell services around Async API. It can be a startup, it can be a consulting company, or maybe both in the beginning, who knows, right? I was doing consulting at that time. So that's how I was able to sustain myself and Lucas at the time for, let's say, for a year or so. But that wasn't going to take long, right? And more if we want to grow. So we decided we have to find something else. Creating a company was an option, but we weren't happy with the option of finding venture capital to work on a standard, right? We wanted to become a standard, an open source standard. And usually standards and money interests, I would say, are not very well aligned. So we want to keep it like separate and just focus on the standard part. Even if we have less money, that's okay, and find a different solution. Then luckily I got my friend Ken Lang come to me and say, hey, let me speak to Abhinav. Abhinav is the CEO of Postman, and let's have a chat. And so, yeah, I don't want to tell the whole story, but after a few months, we announced that we're joining Postman, and the agreement here, the partnership here is that we join Postman. So we are Postman employees. We need to clarify that we're Postman employees, but we're working full time on the spec, on the initiative, sorry, on the SNKPI initiative. So on spec and tooling, we don't work on the Postman product. I am the only one who has a double role, if you want. I'm helping Postman implement support for other protocols and for SNKPI. I am the only person with this double role. And the rest of the team is purely working on the SNKPI initiative full time, right? So we wanted to make it clear. But saying things is one thing, right? Saying something is one thing and doing something is another. So we wanted to make it clear for the people that Postman wasn't buying SNKPI. That was the main concern that people had at the time. And so this only made it faster to come up with this next step, which is joining a neutral ground like Linux Foundation, right? And that's why we joined Linux Foundation. That was the main reason. We wanted to be part of a neutral ground so it's not perceived as Postman is controlling the project or SNKPI is a Postman project. No, we want it to be neutral. Postman is obviously investing a lot of money there because it's hiring all of us. So this is a lot of money they're investing, but they're not the only ones there. So Solas, MuleSoft, Salesforce, Slack, and lately IBM as well, they're contributing engineering time to the spec and to the tools, right? So that's something to take into account. And that's something that we want to make it grow. We want to have more companies to commit. I mean, money is okay, but engineering time, I would say, is even more valuable.
That's good to hear. I said earlier, having the community support that you didn't have to write all the code for the version 2.1. It sounds like it's a really healthy project. I'm really happy to hear how it's all moved along. I personally want to go find some time to try and use it out myself and see if it would help my teams. Because I know this is one of the things that we struggle with is how do you document the contracts? And we've got strong support using OpenAPI, and I think our async communications is a little bit behind the curve. And I think that's common for a lot of companies these days.
Well, actually, one of the items that we have on our roadmap, which is on our website, by the way, is that we want to make the learning curve of event-driven architectures a little bit flatter, right? So it's easier to learn event-driven architectures and not just to learn, but implement them. Implement something valuable in a few minutes. And don't want to make an announcement yet because I want to make it in September. But in September, there's going to be a huge move around this. So yeah, stay tuned for that.
We'll definitely stay tuned. Well, I want to thank you again, Fran, for being on the podcast today. We'll make sure to have links in the show notes to the Async API website, the Slack channel, and everywhere else, the GitHub repo, so people can find ways to participate. And if people want to follow you particularly, where can they most easily find you?
Well, I'm usually on Twitter and LinkedIn as well, but mostly on Twitter. So my handle is FM Villas as my second surname. Like in Spain, we have two surnames, right? So my handle is FM Villas. You can find me there on Twitter as well.
Well, thanks again for joining me today, Fran Mendez. And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us on the InfoQ podcast.
Thank you.